Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Eddie, happy Friday. Happy, Annie. Happy Friday.
It's been a while because we did some fake Friday episodes, fake Tuesday, wow. And now we're back together.
Right. But so. And there was a holiday in the middle. I used to think holiday weekends are easier. Like, only like when I taught school, it was like, 4-day work week. Now it feels like I can't do that. We've got things to do.
Right. The work doesn't just disappear. The world doesn't just go like, hey, you know what? Take a day.
Right.
World just says, hey, I'll be here Tuesday.
That's right. Right. Yeah. And everything you should have gotten done on Monday, you should get done today and what you were going to do on Tuesday. The real science of it is we still should take the day off. I'm still glad I didn't work on Monday.
Yeah.
But wowie.
You know the Andy Crouch thing that he talks about, I think in TechWise Family, maybe his new book that he and his daughter co-wrote together. I forget. Anyway, but he talks about when he takes time off, he puts an auto reply in his email. Uh-huh. An auto reply is, I'm off. I'll not. He says it very gently in Andy Crouch-ish, but it's like, I won't read this email.
Oh, yeah. And he says, email me again if it's really important.
Right. And he comes back and does a delete all. And so really, he would hit the ground Tuesday morning exactly where he left off on Friday when he left work. Because I'm trying to think about that, Annie, because I have this sabbatical thing for all of August. And I'm trying to figure out to what end do I... Because if I come back to work at the end of August, I'll have... I mean, I get 70 to 100 emails a day. I will spend all of September digging out of August.
Yeah.
Like how... And IJM is very cool about whatever. There's no big rules to it, but it's sort of like you got to figure out. So you've taken extended time off at some point, haven't you? How did you, what rules did you set up? What did you not set up? Like, how did you do this?
Well, I have coworkers who look at my emails.
Oh, right.
And so when I am gone, there's someone else paying attention to my email usually. But I'm taking some extended time off in July and I will put an email like Andy Crouch's of, hey, I'm gone and I will not be back until an actual week later than I'll be back.
Yes.
You know, here's who you can email if you need this, you know, kind of give them the phone book of if you need this, here's this. If you need this, here's this. If you need me, I will not be reading this. Email me back in August.
Yeah. Can I tell you a joke that I've been making for years that I think I'm going to blow my own cover on this, but every time I have my out of office email, because it reminded me when you said, if you need something, do this, you know, I always say like, if you need something, you can email my assistant, Richard Lee. Richard's just my friend at work. He's a very accomplished, I think he's even more senior than me, but no one's ever caught on. And I always am wanting him to get these random emails while I'm gone. Like, hey, can you approve the script for the version 2 campaign, And it's never worked. So
yeah.
Cover blown.
I do a lot of Annie at crosspoint.tv because that doesn't exist. Like whenever I'm teaching at church and I'm always like, I'm not really available to answer that on my email, but you could totally email Annie at crosspoint.tv and that's not my email address.
And it just disappears into the nothing. Do you?
Yeah.
That's
just,
really
just
awesome.
Just goes out and never comes back. One time, someone on Instagram asked me for to contact me.
Okay.
And a girl did, and she was saying something like, hey, I would love for you to look over this thing or hear this thing or tell you the story, whatever it is. And so that email address is tellmemore@anniefdowns.com. And so I said, tellmemore@anniefdowns.com. And then I posted a caption or I posted another thing and I made a joke of like, if you don't like the way this is going, email not a real email address at anniefdowns.com, you know? And so those were in two different places, right? Well, as I'm getting to, I was actually headed to soccer. As I'm getting to my soccer practice, I open my phone and one of the girl's friends, this is a complicated story, but it's about to ease up. One of the girl's friends says, why didn't, under her comment says, why didn't you respond to this email? And I thought she was talking about, I don't know your answer at AnnieFDowns.com, you know, not the actual one. And I said, well, because it's not a real email address, LOL. Oh my gosh, Eddie. I go into soccer and I come out and this girl had like rallied her friends to scream at me. How dare you?
And I was like, you.
I made a mistake. I thought you were talking about this and you were talking about this. I would have never said anything like that to your real thing. And so then the girl DMs me and she's like, sorry, LOL. Guess my friends are real protective. And I wrote her back, Eddie, and I was like, hey, your friends aren't protective. They're cruel.
Yeah.
And you didn't, you gave me 30 minutes where you just ripped me to shreds on the internet publicly and got all your friends to do the same. And now I'm blocking you and I'm blocking all your friends. And there was a way better. I was like, yo, so I haven't made a fake email joke again on the internet because it caused real tumultuous days for me that day. I was like, I was so mad.
Oh, that going nuts on someone on the internet is, I mean, it makes me crazy. But what
so dumb. Clear,
she has access to you.
Right.
People have access. Like, if you're genuinely frustrated, there is a way to get a hold of people. There is it's not like you're this weird person that's just unreachable. You're almost overly reachable. And I mean that with great respect to you. Like, people can send you an email.
Yeah, you can get me pretty much everywhere except my DMs on Instagram.
Yes,
you can get
to
me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It makes my heart race telling you that story.
Oh, that
I was
makes me
so mad. I came out of soccer and I was like, 18 comments? What? And it
Let's
was this girl
chill.
Had literally like texted all of her friends and been like, look what Annie F. Downs said to me. And they all just like hyenaed me.
Oh, and it's like, also like, if we
all getting blocked.
If we were in person, it would have been so much different too.
Oh, there's my gosh.
Well, this is an old topic, but the anonymity or the perceived anonymity of the internet allows people to be sometimes their very best and sometimes very worst, but very rarely who they actually are. It's just so weird how people percolate through. Me too.
It's
I'm guilty of it as well. Like, gosh.
Yeah, it was something else. So,
that frustrates me.
Yeah, it was. Oh, man, I was.
Yeah, yeah.
It is real interesting to me because I'm working this. We have not prepped to talk about this, so you can tell me we can't talk about this.
Let's do it.
I was flying home from Orlando on Wednesday. I spoke in Orlando Wednesday, and I was flying home, and I opened Twitter, and there was all sorts of hullabaloo about the letter that Dr. Moore wrote to the SBC when he stopped being in leadership there. Mm-hmm. Did you see all this?
Yeah.
And talked about I think you're friends with her too, but also my friend, Trulia Newbell, in the letter too. And I wrote 5 of the meanest tweets I have ever written and had to delete all of them because I was like, that lasts forever. It lasts forever.
Yeah.
Remember that time you made that joke? And I thought about this story. Remember that time you made that joke about an email address not being real and how that went sideways? And I mean, I bet I wrote from spicy level to mild level. I bet I wrote down the hot sauces. I bet I wrote 15 tweets yesterday before I finally posted one.
The Scoville level. And what did you end up?
Yes, I did the Scoville level.
Where
what I did just you end up? To, I said how much I respect Trulia and Dr. Moore. I know both of them and respect both of them.
Yeah.
And how the lowest heat level I could compared to what I wanted to say was, I'm just not surprised by the stories that come out about men in leadership in the SBC anymore. Like, I'm just not surprised anymore. And I didn't grow up in the SBC, so this isn't like personal for me.
Yeah.
Except that it is personal for me because I'm a woman in leadership in a church that worships the same Jesus they say they worship. But it isn't for me like it is for some of the women who this has been their whole life.
Yeah.
Or some of the people of other races that this has been their whole life in the SBC. It's not personal like that to me, but. Yes. Ooh, I got lit though, Eddie. I got lit up, but I had to work my way down the what is it called? The Schofield?
The Scoville. The Scoville.
Yeah,
I don't know what
Scoville
it is. It's from
heat
hot
chart.
Ones.
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple things. Let's go from most important to least important.
Okay.
Most important question about that. Or thought about that.
Well, yeah, I want your thoughts too.
Yeah, because I think part of it too is, well, I'm aware that people, I don't want people to get lost. Can you do like a quick summary of what we're talking about? Like of what the letter said? Because I feel like
Russell Moore used to be the president of the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. And a year ago, he wrote a letter to them about why he was leaving the convention, or I think Southern Baptist altogether, maybe. But that can be fact checked when you go and read the letter. Somehow,
Monica and Dax will do it at the end of the show.
Yeah, that's right. Somehow, the letter was leaked to religious news services this week, even though it was written in February of 2020. Mm-hmm. And the letter describes in detail some of Dr. Moore's experiences on leadership and some of the threats he and his family received from white nationalists within the party, from sounding like from men within the party about leadership. And one of the leaders specifically called Trillia a black girl. Like, what is that black girl doing? Which is just... unbelievable. Trillia is one of the smartest women and one of the most respected women and so educated. So, I mean, she's just amazing. She's unbelievable. Yeah.
I've never met her.
She is a force.
Yeah. I watch her as a fan and she's real special.
I mean, if someone called me a girl in any way, Eddie, you get mad if we jokingly call ourselves boys and girls.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Because you're like, no, we're grown women.
Yeah. I take that label proudly.
Yes.
I am a grown woman. Yes. So, all right.
So that's what happened. So the letter leaked yesterday and there was just a lot of our friends jumped online to make sure everyone knew, but Trillia knew and Dr. Moore knew that there is a lot of love and respect for both of them.
Right. Okay.
People said some other things too, but that's the main goal. They said some other things, still pro Trillia and Dr. Moore, but
Okay. So that's
so
the
many feels. I probably haven't had enough sleep for us to be doing this, but we're going.
And it's hard too because you do have a different. Because you and I are in an echo chamber. We agree. We think the same things about this. Like nobody's like, well, I'm curious if that was all a fair criticism by Dr. Moore.
I'm
pretty sure we're high-fiving on this. So I don't want people to just sit in our echo chamber. But I will say it is an interesting thing watching you specifically because you are a leader. Mm-hmm. And so while people may not be going like, I got to get online to see what Annie thinks, there is like, it does matter a lot what you say. And then I'm glad that you, it's got to be hard because you're sitting there alone figuring out how to reply to something that is making you like heated up. Like,
yeah, you do that too, though. So what's your process of that?
It's a smaller platform, and I have a lot different safeguards because I represent IJM no matter what I do. And so there is things that I just can't go there because I want to represent IJM well, and they have asked me, hey, as part of this company, please represent this well. But you are you. Your company is you. You've set your own rules. And so it's just... I would be...
Well, I haven't set all my own rules. We do have a team for stuff like that. There are things I don't do online because I have a team. But when it comes to my friends being treated... I sat for a long time last night, Eddie, and I thought... Because one of the tweets I wrote was about...
that's a whole podcast. I would love a whole show of things people didn't
send. Let's just go through our drafts of our tweets.
Yeah, right.
One of them I wrote was kind of like, it's hard to know when to speak up and what is mine, you know? I mean, that's the question. What is mine to hold? And sitting on the couch last night, I thought one of the things that is mine to hold is if someone talks about someone I love. Yeah. Full stop. So I can't jump into every single conversation about the SBC because it's not all mine to hold. Mm-hmm. But when it is a conversation about a friend, I'm coming.
Yeah. And that's right. Like that's I feel like that's a really wise line to sit in, right? Like that seems, because these are like people that you're not just commenting on news. You're not just trying to do clickbait, get in the story and try to like, these are people that you have a relationship with, that you have texted with, like you've texted jokes with.
Yes.
These are like your real friends.
Yes.
Like I can't fathom. I haven't. Yeah. Yeah. I was about to jump off a ledge of a thought. I don't need to, but that was a full censoring. That was my internal team saying, "Hey, let's not share that. Hey, why don't you take a beat, Pally?"
right. It's just such an interesting world because no matter the size of your audience, if Trillia, we're just using her as an example, there are a lot of these stories, but in the, you know, whether you have 2 followers or 200,000 followers, if you say, hey, Trillia, your work has mattered to me.
Yeah.
And hey, Dr. Moore, your like consistent integrity matters to me. They see that.
Yeah.
So it actually doesn't matter how big your audience is. What matters is if somebody's work has changed you and you are watching them suffer for that work in any way. Mm-hmm. It could be 1,000 ways that's happening, whether it makes them lonely or whether it makes them set out and set out apart, and whether it makes them easy to be picked on, or whether it makes them, I don't know, anything. There's a million things. There's a million ways people's work hurts them and they do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so to me, I'm like, no, it doesn't matter the size of your audience. If you will tell the person whose work matters to you that their work matters to you, it helps them.
Yes. Yeah. This story makes me sad. On a very other level, because when I hear it, you're like, yes, of course, you need to tell them that their work matters and tell them that you love these people and that they have been treated just really, it's just an injustice heaped upon them. And it was not right. But I also think about, man, it's such a sad moment, because for most of the people who are interacting with this story, like you actually know these individuals. You have personal stake in this. We live in a church world. We understand the dynamics of all of this. We read commentary. We have friends that are deep into this. But for 98% of the people who interact with the SBC and read this story, they are people that got on Google Maps when they moved to a new area, found their local SBC church.
Of course.
And the contract has been like, and now they're like, the contract has been broken. Like they don't feel like
that. There are so many good, faithful people in the SBC.
Right. And it's such a bummer that
that would be really hard. I can't imagine having, if I went to the same church my whole life.
Yeah.
And the tension here, I can't imagine. I do think for my friends that are in, that have picked a denomination or any other denomination that has a tearing in it, that is global and also personal, right? Mm-hmm. So that can happen in the Methodist world. That can happen in the Catholic world. That can happen in the non-denominational world. It's happening in Hillsong, right? Where a global tear or a public tear also feels like a very personal, what do I do with my life and my faith kind of tear. And so that has to be heavy happening in the SBC right now.
That, of course it is.
And for years, but.
And Methodist Church. Yeah, like you said, like they're all, it's just, it comes down to the actual, there's actual people who are not involved in any of this, who were just trying to find a place to go on Sunday where they kind of like the sermon and they kind of like the music and there's nice people around and children's ministry is pretty fun. And, you know, like they're just doing church for all of the normal reasons of church. They're not involved. And then it's just this, I just feel this personally. I was involved in a church that had a gigantic tear in it. And I think so often about, I wonder where that guy went. You're like, he never came back after that first week. And you kind of know that this was the first church he ever thought was safe. And then we broke the contract and that's it. And I just, how many people in the SBC will be reading the way that these incredible leaders were treated and going, oh, well, this place isn't safe. I was already waiting to be tipped over and this is the excuse I needed. I'm done.
I
dislike, besides just the actual mistreatment of actual incredible human beings that you call friends. Like, it's just like, ugh. Certainly.
Right.
We can do better than this.
Right. And you just feel for it, because then the decision that so many of our friends are like walking in and feeling, that I would be feeling, is, do I stay and be part of the solution or do I leave?
Yes.
Like, what do you do?
What do you do?
And in the letter, Eddie, one of the things, did you read it already?
I did.
Did, yes?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I mean, how about that part where one of the leaders said to Dr. Moore, my wife and all my kids agree with you. Holy cow, guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the whole thing, Eddie. I there is this part in my body.
Yeah.
That does not know what to do with comments like that, that Dr. Moore has just like lived with. Right. Yeah.
And a lot of people have.
That's right. That's right. Because the people who are saying this stuff to Dr. Moore have people in their local congregation, and they're the person who does their dry cleaning, and the waitresses at the Mexican restaurant, and their own families and friends that experience them at this level to some degree too.
Well, I think anytime we're exposed to systemic injustice of any type, you realize, okay, I'm learning about this and shocked about this. There have been people that have been dealing with this for years, decades, centuries. Like,
that's right.
Something for something to be systemic and to have this massive failure, it's not just percolating.
This
is old and ingrained.
That's right.
And that's like, this takes time. It takes time to get to what was a religion news service. Like, there's a slow road.
Oh, right.
When this started to that article coming out. And you're there have been so many people in the wake of this who have just been deeply hurt and outcast and not cared for.
Were you mad when you read it? What did you feel?
Yeah. I felt what I shared before in terms of just like, oh, is there any church out there? Like, I know there is, but
Of course.
Are they ever not going to do, is this ever not going to fail? Like, and I know that that's not right. That's not true. That's why I tweeted nothing. But that was my initial thought was like, yeah, of course. Like, of course, this is just riddled with problems.
Oh, and so sad.
Just riddled with, I was going to say riddled with problems again, but that would be saying the same thing twice.
Say it twice, Eddie, because it's two times as true.
Yeah. And you just feel bad for like these leaders and for her and everything. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I feel for so many people in the story. I even actually feel for the unkind men that Dr. Moore is telling about in the letter, because they're very afraid of something and they are very worried and they are having a hard time sleeping. Like, everybody in this story is suffering. Some are suffering at the hands of others, and that is a different level, but everyone's suffering.
Yeah.
Which is also why I took my spicy level down a bunch on Twitter, because I thought I have people that listen to the podcast, and we have friends listening right now that are really tormented by this because they love their church and they love their husband and they love their dad. And so I don't want to forget them in my communication, but I also am choosing not to not say something because this is people I care about.
And we will get, there will be undoubtedly blowback just on you and I talking about it, even on the level that we're talking about it. It is highly emotionally charged, but at the same time, you can't always just watch. You can't always just say nothing.
That is such a good sentence, Eddie.
Like, there is a time. Oh, really? I thought it was really poorly written, but that was sweet of you to say.
No, I think that's really good. Like, that's a really great way to say that.
There's just a time where it's like, I've been influenced by, and I'm not fully recommending it out loud because there's like, it's very adult, but the new Bo Burnham Netflix special. He talks about, he makes a joke about it, about how people feel the need to constantly comment online and make their opinions known on everything. Mm. But he also makes the point that it's like, but sometimes you need to not just get out of the way. Sometimes you've got to be a part of it. And this is just one of those things where it feels like the failure of a church's contract to its people.
Yeah.
Is one of those moments. Anyway, so.
That's a great way to put it. And I think the question I will keep asking myself is, what's mine to hold? What's mine to hold? What's mine to be involved in? What's mine to hold? What's mine to,
And the thing that also got me, did you read Jamar Tisby tweeted out? He said about this, he said, if a well-connected, influential white man had to go through all of this, you can imagine what black and brown folks, women in these spaces faced. The worst of racism, sexism, and intimidation is usually hidden, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. Mm-hmm. And you're like, so the layers just,
I do love Jamar Tisby.
I do.
I really like him.
On activist? Uh-huh. Probably the nicest pre and post interview I've ever had.
Right. Because
sometimes people just hop on and they're like ready to go and we have a great interview and then we're out. He had all the time in the world and he was pre-book launch. And I know he didn't have all the time in the world. And he just chatted and I kept trying to give him an out like, hey, you don't have to. But he's just, tell me about your family. I was like, okay, I will. And we chatted about family and life and growing up in Chicago. And it was like, what a great guy. I love him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so smart. And so smart. Annie, we have 6 minutes left of this show.
Should I have given you a heads up about that story? Well, I didn't know it was coming either.
Well, just behind the scenes, we never really give each other much of a heads up. Yeah. And I'd rather just be where you're at. So, but I also do need to switch. Hold on. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to actually just let's go and talk about Indeed. And then we'll come back and then we'll talk about one of our favorite reverse sponsorships.
Yes. So Indeed is about to be our palate cleanser.
Yes, yes, yes. Great. We love Indeed. Let's do it. Actually, you want to just do it now? We don't even have to edit it in.
Yeah, great. Let's do it.
Let's talk about Indeed. Take a big breath. Talk about that hiring is a really important thing. Are you hiring at AFD Inc.?
We are actually hiring. We just made an offer to someone that we met on Indeed.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Isn't that wild? Yes, literally. We literally are offering a job to someone this week that we found through a job we posted on Indeed.
Well, that is absolutely amazing. And was it easy?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. And the amount of vetting that happened before they even got to us.
Yes.
Because of Indeed's layers of what they do and how they, I mean, they say, we'll give you a quality short list. And we were like, they gave us a really quality, really short list. And it was absolutely incredible. The resumes really matched the job description.
Yes.
And the candidates were incredible.
Do you know what that is? I'm looking at the Indeed talking points. Do you know what you're talking about? It's called Indeed Instant Match.
Oh.
It has a name. It's not just like a random thing they do. It says, with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately. And Indeed skills tests. That's the other thing. So by the time these people get to you, this is already done?
We had decided which skill tests mattered to us. They had already taken it. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And the other amazing thing is when I am talking to people about this, I'm saying, well, have you looked at Indeed to see if there are jobs there? And everyone I'm talking to is saying, oh, yeah, I'm like when my friends who are looking for jobs, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm always on Indeed. Like when they say that Talent Nest says that they're 4 times more hires than any other job site, I'm like, oh, yeah, I know, because everyone's talking about Indeed and we literally just hired off of Indeed.
Oh, that is really cool. I did not know that you were actually using it.
I know,
and
that
makes
fun.
Me very, very happy. And that's really cool that it works. And it's really neat that they do so much of that vetting because we do a lot of hiring as well at IJM. And so I see how deep this vetting process is.
Yeah.
Okay, friends, get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/keeptalking. You get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/keeptalking. One more time. Indeed.com/keeptalking. Offer is valid through June 30th. How is it possibly June 30th almost already? That's crazy.
Is it almost June 30th? I can't deal.
Terms and conditions apply. We love Indeed. And I'm really glad you found an Indeed hire. And our palate is Indeed cleansed. So
Indeed it is.
That was an ad read for the ages, Annie. Listen.
It was almost a reverse sponsor, which is how much I enjoy enjoyed our process with Indeed.
I do love
that.
But
you have an actual reverse sponsor.
We need to talk about Savannah Bananas.
Every day, all day. I'd love to talk about the Savannah Bananas.
So we get a lot of noise about the bananas in the off season. So real quickly, very fast backstory.
Sure.
Our friends Kelsey and Jared Orton are deep in the Savannah Bananas family. This is a baseball team that has it's a summer league. It's more than a summer league, but great college players go and play with the Savannah team. And this team is super fun, not only because it's baseball, but because it is very high on entertainment and craziness and so much fun. And so opener
was on our Christmas gala.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yes.
I love that you use the fancy pronunciation. And so I just wanted to call out, I have gotten a couple tweets and Instagram things because the season opening has happened and people are going there and saying, Annie and Eddie, come on. Like, we miss you here. We want to be here. And I'm saying, yes, someday we will make it to a Savannah Bananas game, but they are sharing with us. So first, Katie Woods sent a picture of her and Kelsey and this baby. who did, I sent you this picture.
It was very cute. Yes, I saw it.
I don't have anything else to say other than I don't know that I've ever seen a cuter baby.
It was a very cute baby. And we get so many pictures of people at bananas games.
So many pictures.
It but is this so fun.
Particular kid, you could tell it was hot out. Let's go get that kid a popsicle. And like, just so cute. The other one was, so Brie Carta said that she's at the game. And apparently she and a couple of her friends got invited to go down to the field to have a chance to win a date with one of the Savannah Bananas players. And they did like a dance off. So they're at the game. And so she sent a video of what actually transpired. And so as it turns out, it was these three friends of like the show, like Brie and her friends, who we all know through Annie and Eddie Keep Talking. And one little girl, and the little girl wins. So that's how they did it, was the little girl
They won
wins.
The date?
No, the little girl wins.
The little date. Girl wins. So now it's some sort it. Of,
right. But that's how they did it. But there was just a moment there as I was like following through, I guess, her story or whatever, where I was like, oh, I see. You're going to win a date with a bananas player. But they didn't, though, I'm sure, the bananas
but it
player
was
lovely.
Yes. That
it
makes was like, a lot more sense.
That was the setup and punchline. But the bananas are in full swing. So if you can get a
ticket.
They
seem to be having a great season.
They're having a really good season. And I got to just say, Macon Bacon.
The Macon Bacon. They better watch out.
Not having a great season. And it doesn't bother
me.
We dislike them a lot. We're just really loyal to the bananas.
I'm going to tell you that we're very banana loyal. I am very banana. I have a tank top.
Oh, yeah.
I have a sticker. I'm very, their magnet is on the fridge at work. We are.
Yeah, sticker right in front of me.
What is a super fan called in the Savannah Banana world?
I'm sure they have a name.
Jared, we're phoning a friend, Jared, in our hearts. Yeah. Jared, tell us what do we call? What is it called if you're a super banana fan? The banana nanas already exist. The grandmothers who dance and play and are like on the dugout. But
yeah. There needs to be
a name for super fans, or we just need to know it. I'm sure there is.
Yes, right. I'm sure they've got it. They have figured out every single way to use the word banana in a pun, joke, marketing slogan that is possibly available. And so I am sure the banana nanas was a great one.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They're the best.
All right, Annie.
Oh boy,
we did it. That was a good day. I think we talked about what we needed to talk about.
This is what if I would have called you and we weren't recording. This is the same thing I would have talked with you about.
Mm-hmm. I would have heard more of the spicy tweets, which I regret not hearing. But yes,
I can screenshot them. I didn't delete them. when you work so hard to come in at that appropriate spice level, every time when you work your way down from 10 to 1, you don't get rid of those things because they are spicy.
No, and there's something cathartic about that. You do it for yourself.
Oh, feel it. Yeah, I mean that's why you have fights with people in the shower that are not in the shower with you, because it feels so good.
Right.
To say all the things, but not really say them because you don't want to be that person.
Oh, yeah. Or in the car when someone does something, you just, you're a toughie with the windows up,
aren't you? That's right.
Such a toughie.
Oh, yes.
All right. Thursday, Friday, let's go get it. Come on. We can do this. It was a good week.
What? Thursday?
It's Friday. Let's go get this. We're going to have a good weekend. I feel like I'm trying to cleanse my palate. Like we're going to do this.
Yeah. Big baseball weekends. Regional start for college baseball. Go Vandy boys, anchor down. It's gonna be a great weekend. And we'll do this again on Tuesday.
Did you watch the Nats Braves this past week?
Oof. Yay for you, woof for us. The Braves are having what we call a slump.
Yeah. I mean, we are still worst in the division and not even close. But I will take that. I will take that little glimmer of hope this past week. All right, that's it.
Not
baseball
great.
Talk.
All right. Friends, go wash your hands. Sorry, let me do it again.
A little too much spice. A little too much paprika in there.
Something about that felt too spicy. Friends, go wash your hands. We'll have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Tuesday.
Bye, buddies.